Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
The Women in Sport podcast with Ger McCarthy on the Big Red Bench.
Welcome to another edition of the Big Red Bench Women in Sport podcast, and we have another cracking show for you this week. I'm your host, Ger McCarthy, and you can follow me on my social media, Instagram and Twitter accounts at GerMcCarthy74. This week, I speak to Irish Athletics sprint star Joan Healy about her injury-ravaged season and her targets for a very busy 2022. Also, I'll hear from Dripsy motor racing sensation Kaylee Cole on her rise up the go-karting and Formula 1000 drivers' ranks. It's a huge weekend for the Cork Senior Ladies football team as they take on arch rivals Dublin in the National League Division 1 final at Croke Park. I got defender Melissa Duggan and manager Aoife Fitzgerald's thoughts ahead of that big showdown. It's also a very busy weekend for Cork Camogie, with the senior squad taking on Tipperary in the Munster Championship. The Cork Under 16 and Junior Inter-County Camogie squads are also in action, and I caught up with manager of both teams, Donny Daly, ahead of their weekend fixtures. That's all to come on this week's Women in Sport podcast. Joan Healy has endured a torrid year beset by injuries. The former Bandon and current Leavale Athletics Club sprinter is still recovering from a leg injury that ruled the Ballinee native out of qualifying for the Tokyo Olympics with the Irish International 4x100 relay team. And yet, there is much to look forward to in 2022 as Joan Healy sets her sights on the World Championships in Oregon.
Okay, it's a real thrill to have athlete and star runner, Leavale Club and former Bandon Athletics Club, Joan Healy, with us here on the Women in Sport podcast. Joan, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Not at all. A lot of ground to cover, so I want to just try and get to the main point, unfortunately, which is your injury. You were on the verge of qualifying with the Irish 4x100 relay team for the Olympics, but disaster struck just before Christmas. Can you just take us through what happened and how you're currently faring?
Yeah, so basically, after lockdown and when I returned to work as a secondary school teacher back last August, start of September, I think it was about 2 weeks into work, and I was just starting back into my winter training. I picked up a foot injury, plantar fasciitis, which I'm not sure if many of your listeners are familiar with it, but it's probably one of the most frustrating injuries that I have picked up. So basically, it stopped me from running for a long period of time. I had to move my training to the work bike in our clubhouse. So pretty much spent all the winter months transferring all my track sessions over to the Watt bike. Spent a lot of those sessions on my own. Real tough time, you know, over the winter months. And then I eventually got back running on the track probably about the last week of December into the first week of January. And then to help things along, I could still, because I had missed so much time on the track, I couldn't go back to the usual amount of days that I would usually train on the track. So I kind of had to gradually increase. Bearing in mind then that, you know, European Championships were coming up, I hadn't run in at least 12 weeks at that stage. So I paired up with my sister and her coach for a lot of my track sessions, and we spent them training in the National Indoor Arena in Dublin because we didn't have the same access to tracks down here with COVID and lockdown going on. So that was a long period of time of training on my own and then trying to get back onto the start line for European Championships. Probably if I didn't have the help of Phil over the winter. Phil had a lot of experience being on transferring her track sessions onto the Watt bike, having broken her foot back in the summer of 2019. So if I didn't have her help with the Watt bike over the winter, I probably wouldn't have gotten myself to the start line for European Championships. But look, I got out there, and I knew going out there I was nowhere near the shape that I would usually come to a start line with. But, you know, I was just happy to be there. My performance was well off my best, and I was quite disappointed with it. But I came away from it. I was glad to get the exposure, to get back competing, having not competed in so long due to COVID, and to come away from it pretty much in one piece and healthy. And then I finally got back into training. It took about 2 weeks break before we started back into outdoor training. And just as I was getting back, I picked up another same foot, another injury with my Achilles. And, you know, when you hear Achilles, kind of alarm bells go off, especially when you're kind of on the other side of the 20s, it's not a nice injury to have. And, you know, lots of really good athletes in the past, you know, they've, you know, in their later years of their career, they have picked up Achilles injuries, and it has often been, you know, the final nail in the coffin for their sporting career. So that was in the back of my mind. I was told that I had picked it up and I had gotten to the root of it fairly quickly, and that, you know, with a little bit of rehab, that it could possibly clear up in the space of a week. Now, bearing in mind, we were told, you know, I needed to be on the team. I was going to be running the last leg for the 4x1 for World Relays, and we needed to get into the top 8 to qualify for the Olympics. And it was definitely something that was within our grasp. And I was super conscious of it at the time, because I was like, oh my God, if I can't make it to the start line, what's going to happen with the rest of the team? And so basically, it didn't clear up in a week. It actually got worse. And it came to a stage where I was training the week before we were supposed to go away on a camp for the relay. And I had to pull up in the session, and I couldn't walk for a few days after that. And I was full sure that I had torn something in my Achilles. It was just a really slow, frustrating process from there. You know, trying to get into an MRI machine, you know, I suppose I probably, you know, I would have preferred if, you know, that had been dealt with first day when the symptoms appeared, especially, you know, with so much at stake with the World Championships. I should have been put into an MRI machine from day one. They would have figured out what the problem was. So what it ended up being was I pinched one of the fluids, the sac of fluid in the back of my ankle, which had caused a spray of fluid into the area surrounding my Achilles. That thing kind of created a little bit of gunk and stickiness and caused the tendon sheath to stick to my Achilles, and that was creating irritation every time I ran on it. So basically, I went to see the surgeon in the sports surgery clinic in Dublin. He's an Achilles specialist, and he advised basically a high volume injection, which kind of separates the tendon out from the Achilles, and then just a little bit of cortisone to clear up any inflammation.
And Joan, just on that, I mean, that's an awful long, difficult, drawn-out process for an athlete to go through.
Drawn-out, yeah.
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, you didn't get there in the end, and worse still, Molly Scott, Sarah Lavin, Kate Doherty and Sarah Quinn missed out by 0.28 seconds in Olympic qualification. Mm-hmm. But there is good news, because their time has also qualified the 4x100 relay team for next year's World Championships in Oregon. And 2022 has a lot of targets for you. There's the World Indoor Championships in Belgrade. There's the potential of the 4x100 relay. And there's also the Outdoor European Championships in Munich. Of those, which is the one that you're targeting the most, that you want to be right for?
Well, I suppose they all come, you know, with their different targets, because they're all at different times of the year. It's absolutely fantastic that the girls managed to get that top 10 qualification for the World Championships next year, and in the home of athletics, which will be in Hayward Field in Oregon. I suppose at the moment my target, because it's the first one up and I do love the 60 metres, and I'm 1/100 of a second off the standard, my target for the moment will be the World Indoors, and making it through the rounds there. That's provided now, you know, that, you know, I'm in the middle of the rehabbing stage of the Achilles. I've had the injection. I still have to be cautious with it. So hoping that I get out on the other side of the rehab, and that I can really, you know, put a good winter uninterrupted under my belt. then things will be looking really good for our World Indoors. When World Indoors are over, then obviously your whole focus changes to extending from 60 to 100. I know people probably think that's a very short distance, but there's an awful lot that can happen there in that last 40 metres. Obviously, I would absolutely be gunning to get on that that strike four for the 4x1 relay, but I will also be looking at trying to improve my rankings and get on the team for my own individual 100 metres, and the same then for the European Championships at the end of next August.
Well, look, I mean, obviously, it's been a difficult time for somebody as dedicated as yourself. You're working full-time as well, of course, in the middle of all this, a secondary school teacher in Terence McSwinney Community College in Auchnaheeny. But the prospects are good. Your injury will clear up. You have a lot of targets to look forward to and to aim for next year. But the immediate one right now, can I just put it to you, obviously, yourself and Phil are two of not just West Cork, but Cork and the country's best young athletes and runners that we've ever produced. Obviously, the Olympics are looming large on the horizon. I know you and your family are going to be fully behind Phil. How is she, and how are her preparations going?
She's great. I was actually just down in Waterford with her there on Tuesday. Down with her, watching her training, and she's in fab condition. Really good shape. She's really looking forward to national seniors, which will be next weekend, and that will be her last competition, as far as I'm aware, before she heads off to the Olympics. And there's some really vital ranking points for her there to pick up for the 400 metres. But look, you know, we're just so incredibly proud of what she has achieved so far, and to have someone in the family going to an Olympic Games. I mean, growing up, we've known people who've gone to the Olympics, but you never really think that it's going to happen in your own family. So to have Phil going to the Olympics on not one, but possibly three events, that's just absolutely incredible. And we are just filled with pride.
And obviously we hope that it's not the only Healy family member that we're talking about, either in European Championship success or maybe Olympic success down the line. I'd imagine that's still a target for you.
She will, I suppose, when I was back in my early 20s, thinking of, you know, when it'll be the end of the sport, I probably thought that, you know, maybe, you know, my late 20s, early 30s, I might start hanging up bikes. But having suffered the few injuries that I have there now in the last year, Phil is pushing me to, especially now that we've missed a year with the Olympics, and the next Olympics are going to be in 3 years, not four. She is pushing me to hang in there and go for Paris in 24.
Well, can I join the chorus then, along with everybody else on the Women in Sport podcast, and say, because I've seen you in action, Joanna, when you're fully fit, you've every chance of qualifying for an Olympics. Obviously the attention will be on Phil, and rightly so, in the coming weeks, but we're going to keep in touch, and hopefully in the next couple of years we'll also get a chance to talk to you qualifying for the Olympics as well.
Absolutely, that'd be great.
Thanks for your time, and listen, all the best in the future.
Thanks a million.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
Go-karting and Formula 1000 motor racing driver Kayleigh Cole is making a name for herself. A podium finisher in the Motorsport Ireland Kart Series, the Gypsy native and Leaving Cert student was recently named Best Newcomer in her debut F1000 race weekend at Silverstone. Now part of the groundbreaking W Series Racing Championship for Women, Kayleigh Cole is a name you're going to be hearing a lot more about in the coming years.
Now, it's a real pleasure to invite a very special guest to the Women in Sport podcast this week, and that is Motor Racing's Kayleigh Cole. Kayleigh, how are you, and welcome to the show?
Hi, how are you? I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good. It's lovely to talk to you. Now, you are an F1000 motorsport driver. You were also a go-karting sensation, if I can say so myself. But where did the go-karting start? Where did the fascination with go-karts, and how did it all begin?
Well, I always had a passion for the sport. Like, you know, I was always on my dad's shoulders watching the rallying since a really young age. And my dad would have been, you know, involved with the rallies over in the UK where he lived. My uncle was a rally driver, and my godfather would have been British rally champion in the early 2000s. So it was always, you know, in the family.
somewhat. And then one year I just turned around to my dad and I was like, oh, I want to be behind the wheel. I don't want to, you know, be watching on the sideline anymore. So in 2016 of Christmas, I came downstairs Christmas morning and there was a car just sitting in the garage, you know, and I was like, wait, what? I was so confused because I never thought, you know, I'd get the chance to be behind the wheel of, you know, a car or a cart. So then 2016, I got my first ever go-kart. I never really wanted to go, you know, competing or, you know, anything competition-wise. Just, you know, I wanted to do it as a family fun day on a Sunday kind of thing. So then I think I done my first test day in Watergrass Hill in County Cork. And then from there, I just continued practicing and testing in Watergrass Hill. And then in May of 2017, a late friend of ours, Donal O'Brien, he owns Donal O'Brien Car Sales in Tramore Road. He passed away. He was involved in a tragic accident. So I done my first race for him in his honour, and I adopted his race number from when he used to race many years from of his age. But yeah, so I started basically in his honour and I've never stopped since.
Yeah, and it's the number 18 car that he would have, the number 18 is the number that he would have used, is that correct?
Yeah, he wouldn't use the number 18 for many years. Obviously, he had a lot of other numbers if he couldn't get that number on a race weekend, but he raced from, like, rallying to, you know, Formula Cars. He'd done a bit of karting. So, he, you know, I kind of looked up to him at the start of my career, and then, yeah.
You started out, you really enjoyed it. Watergrass Hill, it's a fantastic facility. You were with the Tully Allen outfit. And you, what is Junior Rotax, and how does that work?
So I started in Junior Rotax. It's just like a junior category, you know, like a junior engine. And then I done it with Tully Allen Car Club. So it's just like a club that, you know, race all over Ireland in different tracks. And that's where I started. I didn't really, you know, my dad didn't really want to throw me into a Motorsport Ireland licensed race for my first time. So I started with the club. And from there, I just done, you know, little races here and there. In 2018. I did the full junior championship in the junior Rotax cart. And then in 2019, I moved to the senior category. So it would have been, you know, a faster engine with a power valve on it, etc. So just a faster engine, and older people in the class would have been seniors, but the juniors would have been around the same age as myself.
Things have progressed very quickly for you though, Kayleigh, because since then you've now moved on to the Formula 1000 series. And I know we're moving on quickly here over what has been a very successful karting career for you so far for somebody so young. But for those who don't know, again, Formula 1000 is a big step up in terms of speed, in terms of a single seater chassis. How did you find the, you know, moving from a kart to that, and how has it been going for you?
For moving from a kart to the F1000 single seater was a massive jump, to, like, you know, compared to, like, speed wise and, you know, being so low to the floor in the car was unbelievable. You know, obviously I'm at the same, like, height off the floor in a car, but at such high speeds it was amazing. But, you know, I'm going like nearly over 100 miles an hour down the straight of a car, like a car track over in the UK in the car, compared to, like, you know, going around a kart track is just such a big difference. It's just like a bigger go-kart but a lot faster. And, you know, at the start it was really daunting to find my limits in it because it was so quick, and, you know, jumping just from karting into that in only the space of 3 years, you know, is a massive jump. So it was daunting at the start, but, and it still is when I go to new tracks around the UK, but you know, you just have to start trusting the car and, you know, finding your limits a lot, and you'll enjoy it a lot more then. So
indeed, for somebody who loves Formula 1, what is it like to race around Silverstone, because you got to do that in the Formula 1000?
Yeah, no, I raced around the Silverstone National Circuit, and I'm actually on the GP F1 circuit in August coming.
Okay.
So coming down the straight of, you know, Silverstone, I never thought I'd be, you know, going around Silverstone circuit. You know, I always thought that, you know, I'd be in karts. You know, we never thought we'd have the budget or anything to, you know, go cars. But, like, thanks to my sponsors, I've, you know, gotten the opportunity to do that. We sold our race truck recently, last year, to buy the car, and we sold my dad's car. So it's been hard to, you know, get up and going, but Silverstone track was certainly an experience of them all.
Wow, it must have been. And just on that, you did a very, very good interview with Martin Walsh in the Southern Star newspaper. And in that, you just mentioned all the sponsors who have helped you get this far. And it's only fair that we list them out. CB Tool Hire, Lulu's Coffee, Bishopstown, Mark Coveney Groundworks, O'Driscoll Transport, Donal O'Brien Car Sales, Infoley Electrical Services and Jason O'Brien Car Sales. They've been hugely important to you, Kayleigh, and you're obviously very thankful to their support.
Yeah, no, definitely. Ever since I started, I've had, you know, them sponsors on board with me, and I'm more than grateful to, you know, still have them on board. They've been absolutely amazing to me and my family since we're only a family-run team. So, yeah, no, I'm really, really grateful for them.
Now, talk to me about, you've had a lot of experience of Formula 1000, but talk to me about the W Series and what that is and what's coming up in terms of races in the Formula 1000 Series. I know you're going to Brands Hatch pretty soon before the end of the month and then Silverstone. But what is the W Series?
The W Series is basically an all-female grid. So they run alongside the F1 weekend. So it's like an F3 car. And it's just all females on the grid, basically, all racing against each other. I suppose it gets, you know, the females opportunities to, you know, go out and get the feel for F3 cars and, you know, meet other females on the grid, because it's really unusual to see a female, but, you know, once you have the helm on, you're all the same anyway. But, yeah, no, it's an all-female F3 grid that run alongside the F1, so that's my main aim, you know, towards my racing career. That's my main aim, this what I'm aiming for, really.
You have Sarah Moore as your driving coach, and you're going to get a lot of experience of the British tracks. We mentioned Brands Hatch, we mentioned Silverstone, there's also Oulton Park and Snetterton. This is an exciting time for you, but how important is it that you learn as much as you possibly can from Sarah?
Yeah, no, Sarah's my driver coach. She's currently in the W Series grid. So we've met Sarah like in 2019 when I started winning championships over here in Ireland. And she's been an absolute great support since then. And this year, she's becoming my driver coach. So it's so amazing to have Sarah there on a weekend, since she's so, you know, experienced with cars and stuff. So yeah, no, Sarah has been an awesome person to have at the track, and I have progressed a lot with her being there. I was at Brands Hatch last weekend, and I got my highest result at 15th out of 25 cars. So she really, really did help me progress to that podium of finish. So, yeah.
And just finally, Kayleigh, and it's fantastic to hear that you've made even more progress already in getting your highest finish there. It's not a sport that's immediately associated with women, motorsport. I think that's a fair comment to make, but yeah, it is changing. The W Series is a positive move, and it's obviously benefiting yourself. But what would you say to a young girl who might hear this interview, who might read about you in the newspapers? What is it about motorsport, and why should they try it?
I mean, it's a great discipline mentally and physically. A lot of girls will, like, you know, look at from the sport on the outside and think, you know, it's all men because it is a male dominated sport. But once you actually get involved with whatever side of motorsport you're looking to get into, you'll realise that there is a lot of girls involved in it. You meet so many people along the way, you know, the friends you make is absolutely awesome. And, you know, it doesn't matter what or who you are, once the helmet goes on, you're all racing drivers. So it is really good fun, and any girl that would get into it would 100% love it.
Well, it's clear that you have a passion and also a talent and a skill for it. And we look forward on the Women in Sport podcast, hopefully touching base with you again later in the year to see how you're progressing. Just finally, Kayleigh, who are you currently racing for, and what is coming up in the next couple of weeks?
Well, I'm racing for JFK Racing Team. I'm on their team at the moment. So we raced them last weekend at Brands Hatch, and they're an unreal team. First time actually racing in a car team, so it was a bit different. You know, normally it's just me and my dad. But yeah, no, in karting, I'm racing this weekend in the Motorsport Ireland Championship at Galway, Tina. So I have that this weekend coming, and then in August the 7th, I have Silverstone International, so I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be an even bigger experience, racing on a GP track.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Cork and Dublin meet in the 2021 Lidl National League Division 1 final at Croke Park on Saturday night. It should be another huge occasion between the two heavyweights of ladies senior football. I caught up with Cork senior manager Aoife Fitzgerald, but first, here's senior inter-county defender Melissa Duggan.
Now, Cork senior footballer Melissa Duggan is gearing up for another massive weekend and a National League final appearance against Dublin, the third time the two counties have met in the last 7 months. Melissa, thanks very much for joining us on the Women in Sport podcast.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Delighted to be on.
Good stuff. I just mentioned there, it's not like you don't know what's coming this weekend against the Dubs. You've met in last year's All-Ireland final in December. You had a cracking game down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh recently in the National League. But from your perspective and from an inter-county player's perspective, you've played against a lot of really great teams this year, likes of Waterford, likes of Donegal, likes of Tip. What's the difference? What's it like when you're facing Dublin, and what do they bring when you to a match when you face them?
Yeah, I suppose Dublin are, their conditioning and their strength is just so high at the moment, and they just bring such a big physicality, and the hits you get on the field is totally different to when you play other teams. So I think it's the huge physicality and even the presence of their players, like Lon McGee in midfield and the forward line. They're just so attacking, and I think it's just the presence and the physicality that they bring is different compared to the other teams we've played so far. And as well as that, they're still fast, so they attack like in numbers and they're fast through the middle, so we really have to watch that next Saturday night now, just to keep the eye on the second player, not the player on the ball, because there's always a runner coming through. They're really good at that, so we really have to watch that. And as you said, we have played them twice in the space of nearly 6 or 7 months, so it is hard to, we know the players so well and we know how they play, so. And I suppose it's in Croke Park, and whenever we seem to play them, it's in big stadiums. So the atmosphere that brings, is a different level to what we play. Say when we're playing maybe in Washford or maybe in Galway like 2 weeks ago. It does bring a different aspect to the game when you're playing in big stadiums, because there's a real like championship feel to it, and there's a real like money on the line kind of feel to it. So I suppose it's probably the atmosphere and the physicality that Dublin kind of bring when we play for them, that's what makes them stand out a bit more than other teams.
Is it fair to say, Melissa, because you've played each other so often and you know each other so well, I mean, that last game in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, I mean, there was barely enough time to catch our breath up in the stands watching it. What was that like to play in? Because it was non-stop. And you mentioned the runners coming through and Dublin's ability to get an overlap and get scores, but Cork showed that they can do that too.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like that match, it was a great league game to have, because I feel like nobody, obviously somebody wanted a winner, but all the shackles were off, and everybody had a chance to prove themselves, whether you were just on the team or whether you were on the team for 4 or 5 years, And I suppose we had our purple patch at the start of the second half, and you could see the runners coming through, and we created goal opportunities and had a few chances missed. And then Dublin went down and did the same thing to us, and then the game was a draw. Dublin went up again. So it was just an up and down game. There was no stop to it at all, and the game flowed so well, and it was a really hard league game because there was no stop. The ball was down on one side and then it was down on the other side. So it was great to have them in the league and to play them down in Cork. And I suppose the last 10 minutes probably stood out to me for the most, because we were really going at them, and I think if we bring that level of intensity that we finished the game off with, it will be great going into the match on Saturday. And I think we have, I think all the girls will remember those last 10 minutes of the Dublin game in the league, and hopefully we'll bring that intensity and transfer it over to the start of the game now on Saturday.
Indeed, let's hope so. What's it like playing in a half-back line
with the likes of Eric O'Shea and Aisling Hutchings, because the three of you, over the last couple of games especially, have been really excelling. It's a very, very important line in the way Aoife Fitzgerald plays. He likes to get the ball forward to the forwards as quickly as he can. But your ability, not alone to defend, but to join the attack, I mean, it suits your game down to the ground. So what's it like playing with those two?
It's great to have like a solid like half-back line back there now. I suppose it had been chopping and changing a bit at the start of the league and maybe a bit last year, but it's great that we're all similar players. You know, we're all nearly similar height, we're all similar build a bit, and, you know, we're very alike playing-wise. So, you know, if you could play Hutch in the wing, or, you know, you could drop it a bit as well. So it's great that we're all kind of similar style players, and it's great. I suppose it's just the way that we want to play this year. We want to be attacking more, and we want to have those winners coming through. But as well as that, as you said, we need to defend as well. So it's great for the league that we did manage to build up a good connection between ourselves and on those lines. You know, there doesn't need to be three of us going. You know, if Erica goes, I stay. You know, if I go, Erica stays. So we kind of have that well rehearsed now, I suppose, at this stage. And going into championship, I think it's important, especially, you know, Erica's still so young. She's only doing the leaving cert this year. So for her to get experience playing, you know, on that line with us respectively, it's great. Because she knows now to stay, whereas maybe last year she used to go when I used to go, and that left us completely open in the back line. So we have better communication, definitely, the three of us now this year. So it's great going into the championship, and I suppose going for a special day as well.
Yeah, and just finally on that, Melissa, how much are you looking forward to it? You've played in a fair share of finals, but Croke Park Dubs on Saturday night under floodlights on TV, it doesn't really get much better than that right now in ladies football senior level.
Oh, definitely not. I suppose like our league campaign was a bit up and down. You know, we've been trying out new players and they've got their chance, and you know, we've been going all right, but you know, nothing's standing out yet. So I suppose we want to peak come championship. So I think this league final will definitely help us peak come championship. And like to get to the league final, it's great. You know, like, you know, at the start of the year, you're looking for a league final, you're looking for the championship final. So it's great to get to take one back, and in Croke Park on a Saturday evening, sure, where else would you want to be? You know, it's great. It's the only place I'd want to be anyway on a Saturday evening. And hopefully, you know, with the crowd coming in, I think there are like 10,000. So, you know, it's so exciting. It's a feel like it's an All-Ireland Championship final, because I suppose it's the first time the crowds can go. So there's huge excitement at home and everything like that. So it is fantastic. And you know, when the ball shows up now on Saturday evening, I know there'll be like maybe probably a bit more nerves because we're in Croke Park and there is the people watching us and everything like that. But you know, I think there'll be good nerves. You know, it'll be exciting for everybody, and it's just great to have a chance to play in Croke Park this year.
Okay, Aoife Fitzgerald, it's a third meeting with Dublin since late last year in this weekend's National Football League final. You know each other pretty well, you know each other inside out at this stage. Is the preparation any different this time around, even though it's a league final?
No, well, our preparation has been different this year in the sense that we're preparing for championship, but with regard to Dublin, not really. We know what they'll bring. You know, they're physical, they're strong, they're very, very fast. And we have to try and match that. You know, they're physically, they're bigger than us, but you know, I think we're closing the gap in terms of strength in that. But it's, you know, the game in the park was a great spectacle, and at the end of the day, we came out the wrong side of that. So it's, you know, it's touch and go. They'll obviously be fair, but Sunday with their record and all of that. But we're looking forward to the challenge again. I think it's, you know, every time we play in Croke Park, and particularly against Dublin, it's a good learning experience for our girls. So looking forward to the challenge.
On second or even third viewing and analysing that last game in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, despite all the scores and the excitement, from a manager's point of view, have you taken a lot of positives out of it since that you didn't necessarily see the first time around?
Well, I suppose the big positive was the scoring rate. It was very, very high. In the last number of meetings with Dublin, the scoring has tended to be low. No, they haven't scored a whole lot either, but you know, they've kind of kept us to pretty low scores by our standards. So that point of view is very, very good. Now, you know, you have to look at it in the broader picture and say we conceded a lot more as well. So from that point of view, that's something we've been trying to work on as well. of the last number of weeks. But I don't think, you know, it's the one thing we learned is I don't think you'd be tentative against Dublin. You know, if you draw them onto you, you know, they'll do damage. They're very, very big, as I say. You know, they can play it long. They can run through the lines. They're very good off the shoulder, you know. I mean, their game, when you look at it, is give and go, and there's plenty of runners coming through the middle. So there are things we've been working on, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see on Saturday, you know, how much improvement we made. But I do think, you know, certainly as a team and as a group, we certainly improved. Our fitness levels have gone well up. You know, the girls are looking after themselves and off the field as much as on it in terms of their nutrition and everything else. So that's the standard. I mean, Dublin have set that standard. We have to try and match it. And we're I think the gap is narrowing, hopefully, anyway.
From an injury point of view, how are the long-term injuries, if not for this weekend, looking ahead to championship, like Savani Terry, like Niamh Cotter, Laura Manny, how happy are you with your recovery?
Yeah, well, Niamh Cotter, I don't think we'll see Niamh this year, to be honest. That's an ongoing problem for us. So Laura Manny's back training, but this will be far too soon for her. Anya Terry is back training. Could play at that on Sunday. Marie Ambrose is back in full training now, so, but again, these games are probably coming a bit early. But again, they're increasing the strength of the panel, and hopefully if we can keep those guys fit, I know over the next few weeks, again, get them to the championship level, it'll give us far more options.
Is it fair to say that your forward line is very different from how it ended last year? I mean, you have the likes of Si Valeri, you have the likes of Emma Cleary, Katie Quirk now coming in, making an impact in the league, which is what you want them to do, to give you that headache when it comes to the championship. But is it a fair comment to say that these are more mobile, slightly faster players, and that's altering sometimes the way that you approach when you attack?
Well, our approach is trying to get the ball forward quicker anyway, Ger. So, yeah, so he was very, very quick. Katie's quick. I suppose they are quick, but also I think our movement of the ball is quicker as well. So it's a kind of a marrying of both, really. But certainly we look far more potent going forward. Now, again, on Sunday, Dublin will be, you know, the backs. You know, they probably have everybody back now. They're fairly formidable, and they're tough. And if you go in one-on-one against them, they generally turn you over. So it'll be a different experience in Croke Park. But it's something we're looking forward to. And I suppose, to answer your question in terms of last year, yeah, we probably have that bit more pace in the team all over, really, not just in terms of the forward line. And, you know, the game nowadays is all about strength, power, speed, and that. So that augurs well for the future. But they're young girls and they're learning, you know, every game is different for them. And, you know, but they've come on leaps and bounds this year. And as I said to you earlier on the year, we were looking to unearth some new talent during the league. And I think we've certainly done that.
And just finally, is that the goal from Saturday night? Obviously, you want to win. You want to go in. You want to beat Dublin and get one over them heading into the All-Ireland Championship. But is the goal, again, to see the players that might have been on the fringe at the start of the year, put them into a pressure situation and see how they go?
Well, there's a bit of everything. Obviously, we want to win the match. But at the end of the day, we've won three of the last four leagues, I think, and haven't won the championship. So, you know, our total focus is on trying to win the championship. So, from that point of view, this is another game along the way. And it's a very, very, obviously, it's a very competitive game. And it's something that we wouldn't get. We're playing Meath in the championship 2 weeks later. So, it's invaluable in terms of game time and playing, as I said, playing in Croke Park and playing in the championship type atmosphere. So that's fantastic, but we're not going up there to make up the numbers. We're certainly going up there to give it our best. And you know, I'm looking forward to how the girls react in Croke Park on Saturday evening.
The Big Red Bench, game on Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
It's a massive weekend for the Cork Camogie teams as Paddy Murray's seniors take on Tipperary in the Munster Senior Championship. Donny Daly is also going to be a busy man as manager of both the Cork under-16 and junior inter-county squads. Both of Donny's teams face tricky provincial championship games, but are in good shape ahead of a very, very busy weekend.
Now, it's a very busy weekend for Cork Camogie because the senior team take on Tipperary in the Munster semi-final in Parky Ring on Sunday night. But before that, there's two very important matches. Number one, on Sunday afternoon at WIT in Waterford, the under-16s face Waterford in their All-Ireland Championship group. And on Saturday evening, the Munster Junior semi-final sees Cork taking on Kerry with a 7:15 throw-in. Now, Donny Daly is manager of both the under-16s and the juniors, so he's a very, very busy man. Donny, let's start with that under-16 game against Waterford, because you've already had a good start to the season. What are you expecting down in WIT, and how have preparations gone?
Hi there. Yeah, look, we're expecting a very tough game against Waterford. They played Tipperary last week, and I think Tip beat them, by 7 points. So look, they won't be bad. Waterford need to win this game, Gerard, to stay in the competition. We're in a kind of good enough spot insofar as, you know, we can afford to even lose the game, and we still qualify. But again, we won't be taking anything for granted. You know, you go into every game looking to I suppose do the best you can. So we've been out obviously to win the game. We have 30, a panel of 30 girls. They'll all be looking to put in a performance. Such is the competition that you can't have a bad game, because look, there's always a girl there who will come in and try and take her place. So look, we'll treat it as a championship game, very seriously. We'll go to win, and then we'll take the next game after that. So look, it's a very important game.
Yeah, I've been following you just in the week off, the week since you played Tipperary. You've had the team down in Youghal, and you've been doing some team bonding sessions.
Yeah, we did. Look, like, it's not all about training and working them hard. We had a bit of fun down in Youghal. We kind of go down there every year, actually, with our 16 team. We take a night off, we go down to Youghal, we have a bit of fun. And look, that's better than any training session early. The girls start to get to know each other. The different groups then come together, and they start having a bit of crack. So that was Tuesday. We trained again then as normal Thursday. We had a game against the Miners on Sunday morning, and we went to Ballyhass in Coatsford again for another bit of fun and bonding. So look, like under 16, it is very competitive, but we try to make the year, I suppose, as memorable for the girls as possible, and I think we do that. So look, they should be well rested and prepared now for the match against Waterford.
Yeah, it's refreshing to hear that from inter-county coach Donny. Don't often hear that, but it's good to hear the team are, and even from looking at your social media channels there, it's clear they had a lot of fun and they enjoyed themselves, but they should be ready for this game against Waterford at the weekend. You don't seem to have any time off, though, because any time off you do have, not only have you got the under-16s this weekend, you're also in charge of the Munster Junior Camogie team that take on Kerry in the Munster semi-final. Now, how important is this junior team to the overall development of Cork Camogie?
I think it's very, very important. This will be my fifth year managing the junior team. I came on board in 2016, and look, it's only a one month job, to be honest. Two games maximum. You have a semi final of Munster, and you have a final if you're lucky enough to get to it. I suppose the difference is you're obviously dealing with adults, and you're dealing with girls who are obviously the best in their clubs at senior, intermediate, and junior level throughout the county. So you get a great mix of girls. You get a great the mixture. It's not something you get obviously under 16. It's akin to obviously the intermediate and junior. But in fairness, some of the standard, a lot of these girls have played senior in their time. They've obviously played club senior, but they may have played senior intercounty and intermediate intercounty. So the standard is very high. The only problem is you don't get a whole pile of time with them. We might have them for 2 weeks prior to a match. And the biggest, we're not trying to teach these girls skills or our tactics. It's basically to get to know each other over the course of maybe two, three training sessions, and then throw them into the championship heat, on a Saturday, obviously against Kerry, which will be very tough because Kerry are playing intermediate league. They won the All Ireland in 2019, and they've been together since with months and months at this stage. And they're a real team, obviously a real team. We're putting together a team in 2 weeks to take them on. But obviously, look, our pick in Cork is a lot bigger than Kerry. So, there's different challenges, obviously. But, we'll be up for it on Saturday. It'll be tough, but we'll be up for it.
That's it for another Big Red Bench Women in Sport podcast. Remember to subscribe to the Big Red Bench on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can also listen online at redextra.ie. Don't forget to tune in to the Big Red Bench with Rory O'Hagan, Colm O'Sullivan and Valerie Wheeler between 6 and 7 p.m. on the radio every Saturday and Sunday. follow the Big Red Bench across all our social media channels, as well as visiting our official website, redfm.ie.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.